I'll give you a second to turn there. If you followed me in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he, talking about Jesus, riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? And you look down in verse number 15, it says, For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for this time we have to open your word and learn from you. I pray that something that said tonight would just be an encouragement to the people here. And I'm so thankful, Lord, to minister with a group of people that love you and are serious about what they want to do for you. And I pray that you would just help me to be a blessing to them. I pray that we would not just be hearers of the word, Lord, but doers also. We love you, Lord, so much. In his name I pray, amen. As we come to this passage in John 13, we're coming to the final hours of Jesus' life. In the final hours of Jesus' life, he's here in the upper room with the disciples, and it's a really odd situation, because if I had just hours to live, if I knew that, I don't think I would want to be with a bunch of people. I don't think I would want to watch these guys' dirty feet. I don't know what you would do with your last hours. But I definitely know maybe some of you in here would want to have some last family get together. Or maybe you don't even like your family. Or maybe you want to have that one good Baptist meal, one more. Or maybe you want to just have some alone time. Whatever it is, personally, I would not want to be around anyone, and especially not washing these guys' dirty feet that have been walking around in dirt. That's just nasty. You know, I wouldn't want to do that at all. I want to be selfish in my last hours, you know what I'm saying? It is time that we as Christians get serious about serving. There was a gentleman in my home church. His name was Brother Sam Stewart. Brother Sam Stewart was an older guy, well, compared to me. But he was the type of guy who was faithful to church. Not only was he faithful to church, he invested in me as a teenager. You know, sometimes that's hard for people to do, but he took the time to counsel me, to be an encouragement to me. This is the kind of church member I want to be. Not only was he faithful, but he wanted to be involved in God's work, in God's ministry. He said he wasn't just there at church to fill a seat. He was there at church to have purpose and to reach others. Unfortunately, about a couple years ago, Brother Sam, he was diagnosed with stage 4 mesothelioma. And Brother Sam had a rough couple years of that cancer, and he was fighting it. There was this one Sunday where he was, after a couple bad weeks, he still wanted to come to church. He was so weak and sick, and he was just dying. He couldn't even stand. So he still wanted to go to church, though. And this guy is dying. But he couldn't stand up to sing. So I remember my music pastor was telling me, he was singing this song, and he couldn't help but shed a tear when he looked into Brother Sam's eyes and they were singing that song. And on that day, when my strength is failing, and the end has come near, and the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. My creator pastor couldn't help but shed a tear because this man, who we wouldn't have cared if he was staying home because he was dying from cancer, but yet every part of his being wanted to be in church with God's people. And I just say that to say this. Sometimes we get so stuck in our routine of life. And when Sunday and Saturday are our only day off, we don't seem like we don't want to do much. And all he wanted to do in his last days was serve. Not just sit in the pew, but actually be involved. And sadly to say today, including myself, there's times in our life when we're 100% capable and we're 100% able to serve. And I pray that I would have just half the heart this man had to serve. And he will forever be an impact in my life. And it's easy for us as Christians to get lackadaisical in our serving. But our joy doesn't come from serving men for their approval, but we serve an audience of one. In Colossians 3 and verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." It is our honor as Christians. If you claim that you're a Christian, that Jesus did so much for us on the cross, he did so much for people, we should be willing to serve. We should be willing to do his work. I want you to notice with me from John 13, three areas we can grow in our serving. First of all, I can see that we can grow in serving with a more selfless spirit, just as Jesus did. If you look down in verse number 4, it says, he, talking about Jesus, rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You see, serving is not all about you. Serving is not about me. Jesus could have done anything he wanted in his last hours. This is Jesus we're talking about. The guy who put 3.5 years in his earthly ministry, person after person after person after person, ministry after ministry after ministry. He could have taken a break. He could have took one day off if he wanted to, but no. The reason that Jesus even did this was to set an example for his disciples. And if he wouldn't have set that example for the disciples, then what would they have ever learned? Would they have ever learned what it was to be a servant leader? And I'm thankful to learn under pastors. So many people can be in a leadership position, but I've got to see him personally be a servant leader. I get to see him live what he preaches. I live in his house. And I can see a man every morning reading his Bible and how challenging that is to me because he brought me out here and I expect him to do it. And he does it, and he lives it. And that's the kind of pastor we have. He's serious about the things of God, and we should follow his example. In this passage of Scripture, when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, this verse, I feel like it resonated with him. In Matthew 23:12, it says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And that's what Jesus' ministry was all about. 3.5 years of him humbling himself for the needs of others. And if we could just take 7 days, if we can go 7 days a week serving Jesus instead of our flesh, how much of an impact we could have on the lives of other people. See, the definition of selfish is concerned more with the needs and wishes of others and not with one's own needs. As church members, we should strive to be real in all areas, but especially when we're serving. Do we have the response where we kind of just brush it off? You know, someone else can do that. I don't really have to do that because there's a lot of people in this church that have the opportunity to do it. So, you know, I don't really have to. You know, if Jesus had that mentality, Would they ever see the water turn into wine? Would they have seen the lame man walk again? Would they have seen Lazarus raised from the dead? No. We have to have the mentality of that if I'm willing, if I'm able to serve God and serve his people, then I should do it. If there's an announcement at church, we should be the first ones. We should be the first ones to go to pastor and say, I'm available. And not only should you be available, but we have time for what's important to us. And I've learned that as a college student. You know, I don't want to study. I don't want to do all these things, you know, but I have to. And I have to make that important. Just as in our Christian life, we got to make the things of God important. See, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he didn't just perform the action. He explained its significance. As Christ's ambassadors, we can't expect those we serve to understand the significance of our service to them or make the connection between our service and God's love. While believers have the Holy Spirit to help them understand, those who don't know Jesus depend on us to help them. No matter if we're a new Christian, no matter if we're an older Christian, it doesn't matter where we are in life. We can still have an impact on people. So God's placed you where you're at, in your job, in your neighborhood, your friends, because he knows that you have that opportunity to reach people that maybe I can't reach, or maybe pastor can't reach. Because we can only do so much at a time. If we all come together, the synergy, we have impact for Christ that we can have another Pentecost. But people seem to think that's not possible. But we still serve the same God for Abraham, Joseph, David, Daniel. He's still our God today. And we have that power we can rely on if we just were willing. What will happen if someone comes up to us and we ignore them? Nothing. In James 2:26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Not only should we be saved, yes, but it doesn't end there. We gotta let other people know that we're Christians. Why? To show how much we care about them. Show how much we love them, because Christ loved us. To make it real. If people come here and visit First Baptist Church in Kingstown and we just ignore them, what are they going to do? They'll find another church that loves them even more. It should be said of First Baptist Church of Kingstown, when someone comes and visits, it's like, I've never been to a place like that before. You know, we have the truth. We have God's love to show them. Serving can be overwhelming because our human nature is selfish. We don't want to put others before us. We want people to do stuff for us. See, that's what happens when you lean on your own understanding and you don't have the mind of Christ. It says in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." If we put on the mind of Christ and we don't worry about all the things in our life we have to work to do, our mundane routine, we can have an impact. We can have an impact. Charles Spurgeon said this: "As long as there is breath in our bodies, let us serve Christ. As long as we can think, as long as we can speak, as long as we can work, let us serve him. Let us even serve him with our last gasp. And if it be possible, let us try to set some work going that will glorify him when we are dead and gone. Let us scatter some seed that may spring up when we are sleeping beneath the hillock of the cemetery." See, Charles Spurgeon knew that serving is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. Because you got to decide every day when you wake up, will I serve God or will I serve the world? There's people, even the Bible, you can see what happens when they decide to serve the world. What happened with Judas? Judas was with Jesus for 3.5 years, close with him, learning, seeing all the miracles. But what? For nothing. Because he still betrayed him. Secondly, I can see an area we can grow in serving is serve even when it's tough. If you look down to verse number 11 with me, it says, "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. We should be like Jesus in this passage, serving with the right attitude. Because how does Jesus go about washing the disciples' feet? He goes to Thomas and Matthew. Then he goes to Judas. What do you think he did when he went to Judas? Then was he like, hey, this guy right here is the one who's going to betray me. He's a fool. He's going to sell me off for 30 pieces of silver. No, Jesus didn't do that. He went up to Judas. He got down on his knee. And he said, as he's washing his feet, in his mind, he could say, Judas, I know you. I know what you're going to do. And I forgive you and I love you. How? Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. How could he get past that man side of him and wash the feet of some guy? This lowly person who's going to sell him out. How could he do that? He has such a surreal forgiveness. And he not only does he say he does, but he proves it by that. Could you wash the feet of someone who spit in your face, who turned their back on you? I know I'd probably have a hard time doing that. But Jesus puts on such a great display of servant leadership here. Why is it that we have such a hard time serving others or our quote-unquote enemies? Sometimes we think that we can never have the mindset that Jesus had in the upper room. How could it be possible? In Philippians 2, 5 and verse through 8, he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What's so amazing about that passage right there is Jesus, he's not shying away from claiming that he's God, because he was. But the more amazing thing is that Jesus, the one who died for us, the King of Kings, he made himself of no reputation. So we don't have to worry about some name we have to have, because if we had this mind of Christ, we're nobody outside the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to have a good reputation, but we don't have to have some high name in life. If I was known as just a servant of God who was faithful to him and his people, I call that a win. In this, the next verse, number 8, the reason why we should serve Christ, right here. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus laid down his life for me, for you. Every whip, every flesh that was torn off his back, every spit in his face, every mockery of his name, he had you on his mind. Joe, he had you on his mind. Brother Jim, he had you on his mind. Kobe, he had you on his mind. Carl, he had you on his mind. He had Carlos on his mind. He did it for us. It was personal. So if Jesus could go through all that torment and torture for us, why can't we give our life to serve him? I remember when I was unsaved, I've been saved for about 5 years this coming June. Before I was saved, I wanted to be in business because, you know, business is fun, and I was going to go to college over there in Boise State. You know, that's the best I could see myself doing in my own eyes. But in reality, I was capable of so much more if I just trusted God, if I just go with his plan and not mine. A tour group from West Coast Baptist College came to my church, and I was like, okay, whatever. You know, they're from college, and I don't want to go there. But you know what? I signed up for the one-year Bible anyways, just see if I got accepted or whatever. And so I did. I went to West Coast for 1 year, and during that 1 year, I surrendered my life to full-time ministry, and I've been able to experience so much and do things for God that only by his grace. And I say all that to say this. No matter who you are or where you come from, what walk of life you come from, God can use you if you would just be willing and available. Amen. If you just be willing and available to let him use you, because God is all powerful. He can use anybody. And I can see the third thing that we can, third area we can grow in serving from this passage is serving with the right motives. You see, Jesus didn't just wash his disciples' feet for fun and games. It says there in verse 15, if you look, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." See, Jesus washed the disciples' feet because he had to teach them a lesson because he was going away. And what motivates us to serve? Does that motivate us to serve to please our pastor? Do we serve to please our spouse? Do we serve to please ourselves? We should serve to please God. If you have not yet volunteered some of your time for VBS, can I just challenge you to get involved? This event hinges on so much. I've been involved in a couple of VBSs, but this one feels special. And not to brag or anything, but by the grace of God, me and Kobe have been able to hand out 2,500 invitations for VBS. And I'm just really excited about it and hope and praying that God works. But imagine if you had a part in what God could do in a vacation Bible school. If you would just be willing. 5 days. 5 days of VBS. If you could do one day, you'll never regret it. Just as Pastor talked about this last week in his Sunday sermon, the Church of Sardis and how their busyness did not equate to spirituality. They had the wrong motives. It says in Revelation 3, in verse 1, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." See, our Christian life is so much more than just showing up to church and filling a seat. Yeah. And doing a few things to get by so we can stay off pastor's radar, if you know what I mean. Even the man, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, he spent 3 years with him, as I said earlier. And let's not deceive ourselves into thinking that cannot be us, because we are not above anything. Instead, let this song resonate with every one of us in this room who is a Christian. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. The reason why I say we should have the right motives when we serve, because the Bible says we cannot serve two masters. In Luke 16, in verse 13, it says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." So you think, if you think in your Christian life you could just wake up, you know, serve a little bit of the world, serve a little bit of God and call it good, it's not good. The Bible says you will hold, if you're holding on to the earth and the things of the world, it says you despise the other. And the other, I'm not saying this. This is from the Bible. This is God's word. If you hold on to the world, you're despising God, because you can't serve both of them. That's what Jesus said in this right here. "For else he will hold to one and despise the other." And I'm not trying to step on any toes here. I'm just saying that if we are holding to the world, even a little bit, even just like 1% of the world, you still can't serve both. You still despise the other. And I pray that each and every one of us will let go of the things of the world, because that is past. And hold on to the things of God, because the things of God are exciting. And they're eternal. The things of this world, they pass away and they're gone. That is so important for us to learn that we cannot juggle being a Christian and living in the world. Because when we sin, we don't fall. We step. Because if you sin, you're making the decision. My professor in college said, you don't have to live in sin unless you want to. That is the hard fact. You see that the word despise here is a Greek word called kataphreneo. It means to contemn, despise, disdain, think little or nothing of. I hope that's never said of me. You know, oh, that Carlos guy. You know, he's trying to juggle the world and juggle God. That word, think little or nothing of. Now, I know no one in this room thinks nothing of God, right? No one thinks God is nothing or little. But when we're holding to the world and not the things of God, that's what our actions are saying. They're saying that, you know, I know God died for me, and I know he did all this for me, but I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to hold to the world. My actions say, I think nothing of what he did for me. In that same passage of scripture in Revelation chapter 3 verse 4, it said, there were a few which had not defiled their garments. Let it be said of First Baptist Church of Kingstown that there was a few, all of us can be that. We don't have to be the dead ones. We make a choice every day to serve God or serve flesh. And it's not an easy choice. But we have to rely on God's strength and God's power to get through it. Will we be the few? Or will we be the dead ones? In this passage, we were able to see three areas that we can grow in our serving. First, we were able to see that we can grow with a more selfless spirit. We don't serve others because to please man. We serve them because God died for us. And God showed that love by serving us by giving us a way to heaven. If all we have to do is give that love back, then that's a pretty good thing. You know, some people might think it's not fair. You know, life's not fair. But can I tell you that if God was fair, we would not have a heaven. We would be all damned to hell if God was fair, right? God is just. God has to forgive us of our sins. And I'm so thankful God's not fair. I lived a life up to 15, you know, unsaved and in the world. And I'm so thankful that there is a way. And Jesus is the one way into eternal life. Because if he was fair, he wouldn't have to send his son on the cross to die for our sins. We deserve hell, all of us. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How amazing is it that God could love someone like me? I'm just a rotten sinner. And I stand here before God by the grace of God. And secondly, we're able to see that we can grow in the area of serving even when it's tough. If Jesus went through all that torture and all that torment for me and for you, we could endure a little affliction and tribulation for the cause of Christ. And thirdly, we're able to see that we can grow in the area of serving with the right motives. I don't want to live my whole life doing things with the wrong heart. I can live my whole life and be dead, just like the people in Sardis. I hope none of you want to go about your daily life dead, as far as what you do for Christ. I don't want to get to the end of my life and have it say, I wish I would have. I wish I would have done those things at First Baptist Church of Kingstown. I wish I would have done those things at college with the right heart. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. So we have to take today and serve with the right motive, because you don't want to come up short and be like, and have regrets. We have a choice this evening. Will we be serious servants of God who do things because we love Him? Or will we shy away from the many opportunities we have to serve others and serve God? Pastor.
Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As the piano player comes tonight, we have an opportunity to take inventory. I want to pray for you. If there's one here tonight, if you're lost and you died, you're not sure you're going to heaven. As we tarry for these, there's still time for you. What have we done today? What have we done today that matters in eternity? Every head bowed, every eye closed. What have we done that will outlive our life on this planet? Sometimes we need to be reminded that what we do here, although I realize it's temporary, we have a choice. Amen. Our Father and our God, we love you. It is wonderful to be in your house. Thank you, God, for the message and the messenger. Thank you for the challenge tonight from your word. Now, Father, as we go from this place, we go our separate ways. Father, remind us, O God, that service is not just inside these four walls or on this property, but extend to every aspect of our life. There is a place in each part of our life, God, where our lives intersect others and can be used to glorify you. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way.